welcome to the Hobby Tassel podcast. I'm Gemma.
And I'm Candice. This is the podcast for creatives run by two fellow business owners who discuss the ups and downs of creative entrepreneurship.
From dealing with imposter syndrome to celebrating new business milestones, we're here to talk about all of them with you.
Hi, welcome back to Hobby Hustle. Last time you guys had a single episode with Gemma, and I'm back now. And today we're actually going to go over SEO. This is something that I'm not too good at. I don't really have a lot of information, but Gemma is, in my opinion, an expert on this. So we're going to go over what it is, what she's learned about it, and how it can be helpful. And this isn't just applied for people in services, it's also applied for people like myself, like digital artists, people who have Etsy's and stuff like that. So Gemma, I'm just going to go straight into it because I don't know what the heck I'm doing. What is SEO?
So SEO stands for search engine. See, it's even a mouthful to say. It stands for search engine optimization. And before you switch off the episode, because you think, what on earth is she on about? It's basically a fancy pants term for being found on sites such as Google. And the reason why I really wanted to have an episode on SEO is not just because I think it is great for marketing, but I think it's because it's quite intimidating to people who don't know much about it. And when I first started looking into SEO in 2020, I think it was, 4 years ago now, oh my gosh, I started Googling what is SEO, and all this jargon was coming up. And the more I looked into it, the more confused I was getting. And I cried because I felt stupid. I had no idea what on earth these sites were on about. It seemed so technical. It seemed so complex. I was never going to get it. And then it turned out it was much simpler than I thought it was. It just sounds complicated. So I'm here today really to explain why it's simpler than it seems on its surface.
Okay, because as someone who, I don't really use my website. I think I actually kind of took it down already. I used to look into SEO. Now, I know I have applied SEO before, like long ago. Reason being is because if you search up my, or at least when I search up, even in incognito mode, if I search up my old business name from Yours Truly Studio, all my stuff pops up as the first thing. So clearly I was doing something right. Maybe it's just because it's on my computer, I'm not sure. But SEO does apply to people like myself as well. So either animators, artists, if you're selling like art prints and stickers, I just want you guys to know that it also applies to you. We're not talking about just people who are wanting to be business coaches or calligraphy coaches, or you're running workshops to sell your tickets. This applies to basically if you want to be found, right? Is SEO really that important? Like, do we really need to be using it, though, in your opinion?
It's up to you. So SEO is an alternative. Well, I say an alternative. It can complement what you already do in terms of marketing. So if you do social media, you can also do, you know, SEO on top of it. But you could also do SEO as your main marketing method. It depends what you prefer. So we have talked on this podcast about how social media kind of pisses us off. We feel done with it. We're so fed up of algorithm changes. It just is so time consuming. Whilst SEO is so much easier. It just feels so much easier. And imagine working on a marketing method that felt more stress-free. Like, wouldn't you want to explore that?
Yeah, because I know right now, if I were to go back on social media, now, okay, I understand that there's this obligation that businesses need to be on social media because that's where everyone's at. And that's where everyone gets their information. I'm kind of guilty of that too. Even for restaurants, though I will Google the restaurant information, sometimes I do look on their Instagram more than I will look on Google if they have like holiday hours, because I don't trust that they update their Google. And that's where I find social media important, where it's like if you want to give information out, but I've never really saw it as where people would come to you. I don't really think about it as a business owner, but as a customer, I would be really annoyed if I'm trying to look for you and I can't find you.
Yeah, to me, it's both a red flag if you're not on social media at all, but it's also a red flag if I can't Google you. I don't know. Right. I think if I can find you on social media, great. It depends on what's being offered as well. So I definitely take companies more seriously if I can find them on Google.
Okay, so the reason why I bring this up is because, as you all know, I'm an artist. Okay, so is Gemma, but like, I'm an illustrator artist.
Yeah.
And there are times where, for example, when I sell a Kitten Dino plush, I'm always like, because I changed my name, right? I'm always like, I wonder if people can find me with this physical item, other than just taking a picture of it in reverse Google image search, which also applies to SEO, I guess. But there was this one situation at a market where apparently someone either stole or had their keychain cut off, and it was a Kit keychain. And this couple from UBC came up to me and she was like, are you the owner of this small keychain? And I'm like, well, I'm the designer of it. Yeah, like that's Kit. And then they're like, oh my God, we found this on the floor and we've been calling it Small Cat Thing.
Oh.
And we haven't been able to find where it's from and blah, blah, blah. And so I know I messed up there because I think I don't have tags on those guys other than they're on the original tags. And is that an SEO error on my part, do you think?
To not have tags on a physical product.
Yeah.
Well, I think marketing-wise, it's good to have labels on stuff for branding purposes. I do find it interesting they described it as cute cat thingy or whatever. Well, it was.
They were like, it's a small cat. They're like a small orange cat thing is what they said.
So I am going to talk about how to use SEO later, like how you actually go about it. But one of the things is using keywords. So, for example, on your website, when you are listing products of Kit, you could say cute orange cat sticker, and you keep using that term, and then Google starts to associate your products with cute orange cat sticker.
Right, yeah, I do that. And then my number one selling washi tape pops up.
Mm.
So that means even as an artist, because I know some of us don't particularly like having to sell online. A lot of times there are artists that want to sell in person as well. Does this mean SEO still applies to them?
I mean, if they're selling just in marketplaces, not really. It depends if they want a website. If you have a website, it makes sense to make the most of it and use SEO.
Does that mean you need a website to use SEO?
Ah, so that takes us to a topic I've laid out in the description. No, you don't need a website for SEO. So you can use something called Google My Business. So I guarantee that everyone listening, assuming you use Google, have Googled a term. So say, for example, I might type chip shop. The local chippies are going to show up on Google, like there's this one, and this one. So that's Google My Business, and you might not have heard of that term before, but that's what that platform is called. So it basically means...
Hold on. Sorry. So Google My Business is a software that Google has.
It's like a part of Google's offering. So it's for local searches. So anytime you search for something, and you know normally three businesses pop up and there's the little map. That's Google My Business. And you don't have to list your address to be able to use that service. Because that was my main concern, is that I didn't want my home address visible. But when you register with Google, you can change the settings. So you just do a service area rather than a specific business address.
Right. Now, with that being said, do you think that's still beneficial for people who do sell online?
Yeah. Like, so Google My Business is something everyone should be using, whether they have a website or not, because it means you get found more easily by people who are more likely to be interested in your stuff. So, for example, let me talk about myself. I've been dealing with wedding stuff, and I needed to find seamstresses to alter my wedding dress. And I Googled seamstress, and Google found...
This is the definition of seamstress.
So, I've got a Google Home Hub listening to me. Let me turn that down.
Oh, okay. Also,
stop it,
wait,
Google.
What?
Giving a definition of seamstresses. So, yeah, I Googled seamstress. And then Google showed me three nearby seamstresses in the town I live in. And then you could click view more, and then you see more local people. Some of those seamstresses didn't have websites, which from a user perspective, I found a bit annoying, but I still found them and I still contacted them. So yeah, you don't need a website for that.
Now I feel like I need to make a website again. In order for me to... Because you know how I have physical locations.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I'm allowed to put down those particular addresses for my shop. I might be able to go, like, I sell in the, you know, lower mainland BC area. But the one thing that's been frustrating me recently, mm-hmm. and we're kind of getting sidetracked, but not really, is back then when you looked up from Yours Truly Studio, as mm-hmm. I said, you can find my stuff. Like, it's on the top, like, the top five things are my stuff. Now, when you Google Koku Island, none of my stuff pop up. Granted, back then I really did focus on SEO before, and I really did focus on Etsy, but I don't know. I don't know what I even need to start on, but I guess Google My Business is one of them. So, with that being said, do you think I need a website for my stuff to show up again?
I don't think you need a website. Don't get me wrong, I think websites are good, dependent on your services. But I think you probably just need to be using Koku Island more often. So just moving forward, just reference Koku Island. And it will take a bit of time for Google to start to recognize that. Because if you think of how much you used Etsy, and you probably reference From Yours Truly Studio in every listing, you know, Google has that history, so you're basically starting a fresh slate when you change your name, so you now have to use it again.
That's something I've always thought about too, changing my business email, because right now it's like canis@yourstruly.co. I thought about changing it over to Koku Island, because like even my business license is Koku Island, so that means, oh, I guess I would need to change it on Pinterest and YouTube as well. Everything has to match, doesn't it?
Yeah, but can I just say something? Because you mentioned Pinterest and Google. So did you mm-hmm. know that Pinterest and Google... Sorry, not Pinterest
YouTube,
and Google.
Sorry.
Pinterest and YouTube are actually search engines?
Yeah, I can see that because you don't... Like, you go on YouTube, and I mean, yeah, you can look at your recommended, but majority of the time you do search for stuff, yes.
Yeah, so although I've been mainly talk about Google, Pinterest and YouTube are big search engines. So if the idea of Google like freaks you out, you can definitely, you know, still be found on Pinterest and YouTube, for example. And something I really have kind of pushed the idea of in one of my memberships is this idea of searchable content. So creating content that will be found, you know, potentially in years to come. So for anyone who has a YouTube channel, you might post a YouTube video and nothing happens. And then years later, it starts to get found. That's because it's a search engine. And as people discover it, it starts to get up higher and higher. Whereas with Instagram, you know, you would post something and then it doesn't get seen again, really.
Right. Yeah, it's very odd because I do know that some YouTube videos that all of a sudden go viral, the original poster would be like, dude, I posted this like 7 years ago. What's happening?
Yeah.
I know that has happened. I think that's kind of happened to me before where one of my videos I've posted like it's already been up for about a year and then all of a sudden it got like 10,000 views and I was like, what? was happening. And then I realized it was kind of like after Christmas, people are getting Cricut, people wanted to know how to use it, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I'm going to actually change things up. And I want you to correct me if I'm wrong, because I kind of want to go over how I started on my SEO. And now my Etsy has not been doing well because TLDR, I stopped giving a shit about it. And I got really busy and I needed to focus my energy on other things. And Etsy, unfortunately, is not a website where you can just stop caring about it. You need to actively work on it in order for them to be still happy with you. Now, some of you may disagree with me if you, you know, sell regularly, and you might go like, well, Candace, I never post on there and I still get a lot of sales.
But I'm happy for you.
I'm happy for you. However, that was not the case for me, and I know that's not the case for a lot of other people. So what I did was go on the search bar and try to look up my stickers, but I would type in like cute cat and then I would just leave it at that, and then I'll see what the first 10 things that pop up were. And that means that those are the 10 most regular things that people are looking at. It could be like cute cat sticker, cute cat washi tape, SVG, and all that fun stuff. Try to pick whatever keywords are important to you and applies to you and use that instead. And sometimes you can go one step further by typing in the third word, and then those ones get popped up too. The one thing I did not do, and I will probably, I kind of advise not to do, is though some of those words pop up, don't just use it just because it pops up. Because that makes no sense. It's not necessarily false advertising, because people can then click into your listing and see that it's clearly not a cat crochet or whatever. But if your cat sticker is not a crochet, but the word cute cat crochet is the number one thing that's popped up, don't put that. That has nothing to do with your stuff. You have no crocheting things. And I personally just wouldn't want that as well, because then I would start getting questions of like, how is this a crochet, blah, blah, blah. Because sometimes people are just like that. So that's how I use SEO for Etsy. I made sure, you know, obviously I took a look at some photos and watched some YouTube videos by looking up how to take Etsy photos or how to take product photos. And that's what I did. You know, I made sure those ones are good to go. Keywords and descriptions. And that's kind of what I did. And when I did focus on that, my Etsy did perform, like, I would say 100 times better than what it is now. So that's how I would get started. For people who are in my, I guess, industry / realm of, you know, you're designing a sticker sheet and you post it, or you might be doing a Kickstarter, like plushies, bags, and stuff like that. That still applies because you still need that stuff to pop up. So that's what I would do for retail. I imagine it'd be very different though for services. Am I correct?
Not really. I think the main thing is you describe what you offer and you describe it as specifically as you can, really. So I'm just going to describe how you basically do SEO on like kind of a basic level. So, I mean, obviously you can apply this to other platforms, but I'm mainly focusing on Google. So think of SEO performance as fitting in two categories. So the first is keywords and the second is trust. So that kind of ties into what you just said. You know, you were using keywords, but you weren't using irrelevant keywords, because otherwise, like, the trust would be broken. So in terms of keywords, essentially Google scans, say, your website to understand what your website is all about. You know, they can't read your mind, but they can read the text on your website. So you want to make sure that you're using keywords in there that are relevant. And you want to try be consistent and as specific as possible. So let's take my calligraphy classes as an example. I tend to use the term calligraphy workshop, So I'm going to show up higher for the phrase calligraphy workshop and lower for the phrase calligraphy class, because that's just not a term I use as regularly. And when I get more specific, so calligraphy class in Cheltenham, which is where I teach classes, I'm going to show up higher. So you basically want to be as specific as possible. So as I mentioned with Candice earlier, you know, she might use the phrase cute orange cat sticker. Like, that's a specific keyword kind of phrase you'll want to be using. In terms of keywords as well, you may have made this mistake, Candice, because I did it. When you create a website and you have headers, I would highlight the thing I want a header, head up to the bar where you edit things, and I would make it bigger and maybe bold it. Maybe that's just me. But basically, I would bold stuff or make it bigger rather than use the header option on a website. Have you ever done that? Do you know?
No, yeah, I use the headers.
Okay, so you're more reliable than I am at SEO. But I definitely made that mistake because I thought I can't be bothered with, you know, adjusting the header section, so I'll just make it bigger and bolder. But the problem is Google then can't understand that that's actually quite important on your website. So when you use the header function, Google understands that that is something of importance on your website. So that's something to keep in mind, is to use the header functions and subheader functions, and that will help you get your phrase found more easily on Google.
Interesting. Okay.
Which is like a quick fix if, you know, you're on, if you have a website and you don't use headers, you can easily go in and change that. That's like a quick win.
Actually, now that we mention that, for those of you who are programmers or UI designers and stuff, like, correct me if I'm wrong, but that actually does make sense. Because when I built my website, now I have some experience in HTML. Yeah, when you want something to be a header, you actually need to ID it as a header. So header one, header two, header three. Mm-hmm. And then under that, that's when you put the body. Since it's coded that way, if I put the header as Koku Island, it would know that ID because that's universal. The HTML ID header one is Koku Island. You can change the font of the body. So you can do body one, body two, body three. If I put body one is Koku Island and in bigger font, I don't think that would pop up because it's a body. I mean, it could pop up, but like it would pop up in the way that is, you know, when you look up a question on Google, like my foot is sore.
Referring to the drop-down menus.
Yeah, there's the drop-down menus. Yeah. But then you see what you Googled in the answer of those drop-down menus, like it highlights. I imagine that that could happen to you. Like, if I mention Koku Island in the body, that the question may not pop up. Then the little highlight bit, like in the small text might. But then again, that kind of defeats the purpose of me wanting to be up at the top anyways. So that whole header thing makes sense.
Yeah, so think of it as an essay. You know, if you submit an essay at university, the bits under the subheadings are the key things you're talking about.
Yeah.
So it basically just tells Google, these are the things I'm talking about on my website. And Google can still pull up bits from the body of your website. It's just that it prioritizes the headings more. Yeah, so something else that people often don't think about is the title of your page. So something I used to do is I tried to use, not clickbait, that's not the right term, but basically, you know, something to try entice attention, but I wasn't describing what I was actually talking about in the page title. So say I did a blog post and I might do some mysterious title, but actually that doesn't help Google because it doesn't know what I'm on about.
You broke me there for a second. Can I get an example, please, of what to do and what not to do?
So say, for example, I say, I can't believe this thing happened as a blog header. Like, it's not a blog header, like a page title.
Right.
Google isn't going to know what that means. I mean, people can click on it and read it and understand what it means. But if I named it worst experiences as a calligrapher, that's going to show up differently on Google. So you want to make sure that the page titles are relevant and make sense so that Google understands what you're on about. And also pictures. People forget to utilize pictures to be found as well. So the terminology is called alt text. It's basically how Google can read your pictures, because they can't read pictures. You have to tell them what it's about and you can use keywords there. So say, for example, there's a picture of me teaching in a calligraphy class. Google doesn't know what that picture is. I have to tell it, calligraphy teacher teaching a calligraphy class in Cheltenham, helping a student learn calligraphy. Using those keywords to describe what that photo is about, but also, yeah, keeping it relevant. Mm. So that's basically keywords. Like, that's a very basic understanding, is use keywords, try to be specific, try to be relevant. And yeah. So okay. The second part of SEO is trust. So Google obviously wants to preserve its reputation, and it does that by delivering good search results to you.
Right.
If your website is rubbish, it's going to promote it less and less. So the first way to show Google that your site can be trusted is the quality of your website. So this can be determined by how quick your website is, how often your website is updated, and that the content is actually engaging. So basically, if people go on your website and it's slow, what are they going to do? They're going to back out because they're like, oh, this is too slow, this annoys me. I'm sure you've done it before when websites are too slow, back out, go on something else. So Google says, this person went on this website and then left. Clearly, there's something wrong with that website.
Right. Sorry, I actually want to...
Yeah.
I want to emphasize how important that is. I know some of you might be listening, going like, I can wait. But I just want you guys to know that Amazon, it's so important to them about the timing of their response that their engineers actually get paged if a certain if it passes a certain timer of response. If the customer's there, and I'm kind of guilty of it too, take too long to search for their thing, they're going to click away. And that's them actively losing money. So if an app that's pretty much dominated online shopping almost, if they are thinking that that's of that level of importance, then I think that that's how Google would probably see that level of importance as well then. And as is customer experience, like, I often get frustrated when something's like loading for like over 2 seconds, which I kind of understand.
So it's funny you mentioned 2 seconds, because from, like, this isn't an official quote, but something in my memory says that it was 2 seconds that people wait for.
We are so impatient.
Like, genuinely 2 seconds. If it takes longer than 2 seconds, like, we're so used to things being quick that it makes sense that we would think something is wrong if it takes... As soon as you notice something hasn't loaded, that's when it becomes a problem. And something I see a lot of artists do is put tons of pictures on their website. Like, they upload a full gallery of pictures on their website, on their homepage. And you know what happens when they have a ton of pictures? It slows the website down. So I'm trying to think. Like, for example, photographers, I think quite often don't put up their full photo galleries because it slows their website down. And quite often you might click through to go to a dedicated, like, gallery website. And it's definitely something overlooked. And the actual size of an image can slow things down. And I'm guilty of this too. Like, I know that there's a couple of banner images on my website that I noticed recently were a bit slow. So I need to go in and fix that and make that quicker, because I noticed that the picture didn't load straight away, you know, when it takes like a second to load in, and it just kind of bugged me, so I want to go in and fix that. So yeah, cutting down the photos is a quick win to speed up your website.
I agree as well, because back then I had a washi tape lookbook, and that was not a linked page, meaning you can't go there unless if I give you the link or the QR code to scan to go in there. And I only did that with my mystery boxes because I can't be bothered to put 50 different washi tape designs onto one small 2x2 box. So I have a QR code. And if you're shopping in person, then you can go ahead and scan the QR code to see what are the three options that you can get. That page does load slow. It drives William nuts, but he's there's nothing he can do about it. And I think in a time where our attention span is so short, it's quite important for you to, especially because you don't have the reputation. Like, think about it. Like, Gemma, if Amazon takes too long to load, is that when I'm saying taking too long, let's say they take 5 seconds to load and you click out of the app, are you never going to use that app ever again? But if it was a small business that you've never heard of before, though, would you bother going back in?
Yeah, I would forget to go back. But it's interesting. If it took 5 seconds to load Amazon, I think, oh, something's wrong with Amazon today. Like, I generally would think that. I would think there's an issue.
You're right. If Amazon took too long, I would just be like, oh, they broke. It's fine. I'll just go back in an hour.
Yeah, just be conscious not to upload too many photos on your website and make sure that the size of the file isn't too big, essentially. Another way is to update your content from time to time. And you'd want to do that anyway, really. If you're looking at your website over time, you'll start to want to improve things. And, you know, this shows Google that your website is active, but it can show potential clients your website is active. So I actually had a customer approach me and say, oh, I noticed you posted a blog post recently, so I knew you were active, which was kind of rewarding from my perspective. I'm like, oh, someone's noticed. And the content you do have on your website, you want it to be good. I don't know how to say that. You want it to be easy to read and understand. You should not be having block paragraphs. I don't know if you ever go on a website...
So straight to the point.
Yeah. Do you ever go on a website, Candace, where you've clicked on it with Google and it's just like a wall of text and you think, how old is this website? Because it makes your website look dated because it's just text. No, I'm... Generally, if I see a website and it's just blocks of text and it's super huge paragraphs, I think this is someone who doesn't know what they're doing. I do judge it a bit harshly because I just think it doesn't offer a good customer experience. It's probably an older website. So that's something to keep in mind as well.
Yeah, I find it very hard for me to read that. Mm. Now, before anyone thinks this, I don't have dyslexia, but I know that once a text reaches bigger than, I would say maybe 5 lines is like the max. Once it goes over that, I have a hard time actually following the sentences. So keep in mind of when you have it on mobile as well. If you have 5 lines on a desktop website, when you shrink it into a mobile, that's going to be instantly turned into 20 lines. I'm going to have a hard time trying to figure out what was said, because I'm going to be scrolling for a solid 30 seconds just to read one paragraph.
So when I was looking more into blogging and there was someone teaching blogging tips, she recommended not having more than 2 sentences per paragraph, which, it's so small when you think about it. But I have taken that tip on board because when I started blogging, I did have beefy paragraphs. Whereas now if I click on a blog post, an old blog post, and I see it, I'm like, oh, I can't believe I did that. Because it looks off-putting when you see a big chunky paragraph. One last thing on the quality of your website and you help me to remember this, is mobile view. So when you create your website, usually it depends on where you've created your website, but there's a mobile button so you can see what your website looks like on mobile, and you need to make sure that the mobile view is also nice and user-friendly, because that is a mistake I've made before. And test your website as well. So for example, I edited my mobile view of my website so it looked like it made sense, but when I tested it on my mobile, one of the buttons I couldn't click on because there was like something overlapping and it was blocking it. So just be sure to test these things as well. Okay, and sorry, last thing on trust is get reviews. So try to get your reviews on Google My Business. Personally, that's where I tend to trust reviews the most. I think a lot of people tend to use Google and they trust Google reviews. Yeah, so that also tells Google that you're more trusted the more reviews you get.
Okay, that's good to know, because then I know some people go like, well, I got reviews on this one site, I don't need to put it on the other. But I think it's important for you to update it as well. And that's something I need to think about if I'm considering of making another website. And this also does apply to me too, because if I were to make animations and I were to upload them, I would need to upload them onto YouTube and or Instagram. And if I want to, I would probably put it on my website as well. And I would need to make sure that I don't flood my page with videos, because that's going to make it slow. And then I would also probably want to put some of my reviews in my website as well from Etsy, so people can go buy my stuff if I decide to do that again.
So I've talked about kind of how you go about SEO, but I haven't really talked about why you should do it. So I personally think this is the most kind of overlooked marketing method when it comes to artists. I think obviously art is very visual and people are drawn to social media more often, but SEO is, it's just so powerful. You know, being able to get customers to come to you rather than you having to find them, it's just a game changer. It really, really is. Because with social media, it feels like a bit of a grind, I find. But once you have put the foundations together for SEO, yeah, customers come to you. And I've generally made a ton of sales through SEO and people coming to me. That's how people tend to book onto my calligraphy classes, is through finding me on Google.
Yeah, I think for artists, if you do plan on selling your artwork, focusing on social media, it's not wrong, but I wouldn't put all your eggs in the one basket. It's kind of like how you could end up repurposing your Instagram reels by putting it into YouTube shorts. In my opinion, that's how it can be useful to you, which is just having more people from different sections, different platforms to find your page. So that's basically all we're trying to get to. Like, that's the whole point of this, right? You're trying to get people to go into one place, and the more fishing lines that you cast out, the more chances that you're gonna get people to buy your stuff.
Yeah. So I hope this episode has been helpful. I made you feel less intimidated by it. Essentially, you just want to make sure that you're using relevant words on your website, that it's not too slow, and that you have good content on there. It's nice and user-friendly. Yeah, that sums it up on kind of a top-level perspective. If you did want to learn more about SEO, I do have an SEO module in my membership, the Creative Biz Success Society. So I actually have video tutorials of how you utilize SEO So yeah, go check that out if you're interested. Do you have any other comments you want to make, Candace, before we wrap up?
I think that's all I have for today. All right, so that wraps up SEO. The next time we're going to post is, again, in 2 weeks. We know we've kind of slacked a little bit for our podcast this season, and Jem and I had a talk about it. So we're going to try to be more on top of our toes. Then again, Jem and I got busy, so, you know, don't come at us for that.
We're trying our best, okay?
Yeah, we're trying, okay? But we will see you guys in 2 weeks. Thank you. Bye.
Bye.